Welcome to the Creative Pen Podcast. I'm Joanna Penn, thriller author and professional speaker, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options and marketing ideas for your book. You can find the episode show notes, your free Author 2.0 blueprint and lots more information at thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from thecreativepen.com, and it is the 15th of December 2013 as I record this, episode number 172 of the podcast. Right, today I have an interview with fantastic creative entrepreneur Farnoosh Brock, whose website is prolificliving.com, and both Farnoosh and I gave up our six-figure corporate careers in 2011 to pursue various aspects of writing, and Farnoosh also self-publishes, and she has a book deal, traditional book deal, off the back of that success, and also makes her income from online sales of products and services, and she managed to hire her own husband out of his corporate job this year, which is absolutely brilliant, and a real measure of her financial success. So I'm very excited to bring this interview with Farnoosh to you. She's super inspiring businesswoman, and she also has a gorgeous voice, so I'm sure you will love the interview. So, little bit of introduction, as usual. One of the things that has been annoying me in the last month, I've really noticed this sort of explosion of people moaning about declining sales, particularly in the US. You know, people have been saying, oh, the bubble has burst, and, you know, people just aren't making enough money anymore, and, you know, things have just changed and it's all over. This sort of negative thing. Now, you know, first up, no one is entitled to anything. You know, none of us are. And only a few years ago, we couldn't even have made 10p or, you know, 10 cents through Amazon or Kobo. Kobo didn't even exist. You know, it's just crazy. So one, I always think that having an attitude of gratitude. Oh dear. Sometimes I sound more American than the Americans. But no, I think that obviously being grateful for the opportunities we have is one, but two, you cannot expect things to stay the same. I mean, seriously, how with the speed of this industry can you expect anything to remain the same? I mean, we've seen the disruption of publishing, we're seeing perhaps a disruption in what self-publishing is, and inevitably the disruption will continue. And I actually have an article on the blog. If you haven't seen it, maybe go and check it out. I wrote an article called It's Not About the Drones, reflection on Amazon's the interview Jeff Bezos did with Charlie Rose, and it was a 15-minute documentary, and it's awesome. Seriously, you have to watch it, and I've embedded the video on the blog. But one of the things Bezos says at the end is Amazon will be disrupted. So, you know, you can't rely on Amazon income. It might disappear tomorrow, it might disappear in 5 years' time, it might be 10 years' time, but hell, I'm 38, so I want to ensure an income for the rest of my life. So we should never ever depend on one income stream from one place. That's just crazy. So that's my first kind of feeling. My second feeling is that the US is a mature digital market. Traditional publishers have changed their business models to reflect indie models. A lot of them, you know, a lot of them are doing lower price points, they're doing box sets, you know, all the things that we've been doing, they pick up on very fast. You know, email blasts are less important. I mean, I used to look at my Amazon Daily Deal emails every day and don't anymore. You know, I used to read my BookBub things and don't anymore. So things change all the time. You just can't depend on them staying the same. But my big tip is, and I've seen this myself, in the last 6 months, I've actually started getting, you know, proper income, as in I get paid every month from Amazon.de and Amazon.ca, and my Kobo sales are now in 30 countries, including some in Asia and Africa and South America. You know, I've got German, Spanish and Italian versions of Pentecost coming out in 2014, but that doesn't really matter. I mean, I realise that's hard for most people to do, but we can sell English, our English books in all of these markets. I recently interviewed Minal Haj Ratwala on the podcast, the last show, about potential with India. Flipkart is going to open up to direct self-publishers, which is awesome. You know, Germany, I interviewed Matthias Matting on the blog about Germany. Things are really starting to happen in Germany in terms of European ebook sales. And as I said, I am starting to get paid already from Amazon.de. So German, you know, English sales of English books in Germany have started to take off. So what I see and what I'm excited about for 2014, 2015 is the rest of the world. If you think that ebooks are, say, an average of 50% of the market in some genres in the US, and the fact that, say, in Germany it might be 5% or 1% in, you know, Brazil, or 1% in Nigeria, which is, I think, one of the biggest economies in Africa, things are really just going to go off. I just want you to think. Okay, first of all, think backwards 5 years. What was your income from your books 5 years ago? If you were traditionally published, perhaps it's completely dropped off. If you're an indie, it didn't even exist. So, and then I want you to think forwards 5 years. What do you think the world is going to look like in 5 years' time? You know, we didn't even have the international Kindle 5 years ago. We didn't have the penetration of smartphones 5 years ago. I read a lot on my smartphone, and people will be doing that. So just think forwards 5 years. Where do you think your income's going to come from? Now, I am fully thinking that seriously, I can't see it going any other way. I can't see this changing or stopping, this kind of move to digital, especially with schools across the world. You know, there was an article in the Guardian a few days ago about Kindle books helping, you know, Kindles being the way that African children are learning to read because they just can't get enough books, but the Kindles are being distributed is really fascinating. Anyway, I can't see this changing. So if I think forward a few years, I'm going to be thinking that my income is spread, is not 99% from the US and the UK. My sales, I hope, will be spread much more evenly. You know, if I'm making 20% of my income from the US and the UK, 20%, you know, from South America, 20% from Asia, you know, another 20% from Europe, that type of thing, that just is so much more exciting than basing my income prospects on one country specific market. So although, you know, I absolutely love America, I think it's a brilliant market for us to continue focusing on because people buy books in America, I think that, you know, it's very competitive now. And one of the things I have also seen is that many American authors don't consider these other countries to be that important, mainly because I think in America your news system doesn't really focus on other countries, so I just think it's probably a bit more out of sight, out of mind, whereas, you know, I'm obsessed with the global economy. Anyway, I'm sure I'm totally generalising, but it has been really annoying me. And I've been leaving random comments on random people's blogs just saying, why are you, don't stop moaning about the loss of income in America and look to build your income elsewhere. There's my big rant. I don't often rant, do I? But I think part of my pivot on the creative pen is really trying to be a bit more open and opinionated about the things I'm thinking about, and all the feedback I've got about the pivot is being positive. The fact that I'm going to stop talking about self-publishing and really just talk about where we're going next, you know, trying to be a graduate school in creative entrepreneurship, that's kind of my aim now. Okay, what else? I wanted to just briefly mention that I went to a brilliant, the book launch of Gary Vaynerchuk's Jab, 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 Right Hook, book launch in London, which was not so much a book launch as sort of a Gary experience. Now, if you haven't heard of Gary, he's awesome, and his book Crush It back in 2009 really helped change my own life. So Jab, 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 Right Hook is his book on social media, and it kind of stands for give, 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 and then ask, which is basically how I run my business. You're not paying for this podcast, for example, but sometimes I'll tell you about my books that are for sale and hope that sometimes you might buy them. So I totally agree with Gary's philosophy. And in fact, he's been part of my education as to how I actually run my business. So I really enjoyed that evening. It was fantastic. And it's helped me really think about some of the things I will be doing, and I will be posting on the blog about that event. And I recommend the book Jab, 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 Right Hook, out now. Another book recommendation, if you haven't heard of it, and you should have if you listen to podcasts because the boys have been everywhere, Write, Publish, Repeat by Sean Platt and Johnny B. Turrent, featuring the wonderful David Wright, who also was on the blog, on the podcast few shows ago. Two things from the book that I particularly think are important is the funnel, which is where you start with a very easy way for people to discover your work, and then takes them through, points them at the next sale in the process, essentially with a call to action. So I definitely recommend you get Write, Publish, Repeat. And just to kind of underscore that, I said two things. The other things are Beats, which is how they write as super fast as they do. So I will be using Beats to try and speed up my own writing with Delirium, which I will obviously report on at some point. But I wanted to just talk briefly about my perma-free. Since I put Pentecost on perma-free just over a month ago now, although I lose track of time, I've had a lot of free downloads, like loads, and it's been, I haven't really done any promotion with the perma free, but it has been picked up on a whole load of blogs, so that's been really cool. But then I got this, and I've actually seen an uptick in sales of my subsequent books in the series, plus I've seen a lot of sign-ups on my fiction site at jfpen.com, so, and that, you know, has been a noticeable uptick, so that's very cool. I also got this email on the blog, on my Pentecost page, jfpen.com/Pentecost, from a reader, and it says, I'm only on page 63, having shamelessly purchased this for zero on Amazon. You've got me hooked, the book is fantastic, and I'll be buying everything you produce from now on. Your marketing strategy is working, keep up the great work. And I'm thrilled with that comment, and no, I don't know the guy and I didn't pay him. But essentially, you know, the fact that one person will come and write a comment like that on my site, and this guy obviously has his head screwed on around marketing, and understood that this was a marketing play, but it has worked, and he's recognised that. Now, I hope he's kind of one in a thousand, as in most readers will not perceive that what you've done is a marketing play. So I'm kind of hoping that lots more people are feeling that way, and I am seeing that evidence. So I wanted to share that because I really agonized over perma-free. You know, I still had that kind of, but it's 70,000 words. It's like, you know, it's a good book, and I can't bear, maybe I'll just do a sale. But actually, this is really a blooming good thing. So if you have a series and you can, you know, potentially put one of them for free, then I think it's a good idea. And Lindsay Baroka, who's been on the show, she recommends it. Elizabeth Span Craig, I always say it wrong, she does it. She's been on the show as well. Obviously, Sean Platt and Johnny B. Turrent and David Wright do this with their funnel. Essentially, I think it's a really good idea if you have more than one book. Another thing that is cool that I just wanted to mention, and again, I guess the things I'm just mentioning now, like perma-free, once you do it, I don't think you have to really do much with that. You just do what you normally do and people find it. And also, this is my other thing, is SEO, search engine optimization, book titles for non-fiction authors. So I My actual very, very first book, non-fiction book, was originally called How to Enjoy Your Job. I rewrote that and retitled it based on search engine optimization principles, as in what are people actually looking for on the internet. I retitled that book Career Change last year and rewrote it. And just this week, obviously it's coming into Christmas and the new year, and I am going to be in two national papers in the next week talking about career change, because all the journalist did was Google career change and my name comes up with a book on Amazon, high ranking book on Amazon, and they can find and they find my blog. So that in itself, you guys may not even heard of me talking about that book before, because I don't have a platform to sell that book, basically. I just don't. So, you know, essentially, the only way I sell copies of that book is people finding it on Amazon and through SEO. So very excited. I wanted to mention it so that anybody thinking of writing a non-fiction book, or if your non-fiction book sales are not doing very well, think about retitling around SEO, and you can do some research on that. Oh, this is turning out to be a bit of a long introduction. But I have a lot to say at the moment, so I hope you don't mind. It is my show, after all. My last thing is my own writing. My next non-fiction book is Public Speaking for Authors, Creatives and Other Introverts, and that is with my editor and beta readers, so I hope to have that out before New Year 2014. And my brain has now started to slide back to fiction, which is awesome, because I really just burnt out middle of November, so I'm kind of coming back online now and starting to get lots of story ideas, and so that's exciting. So Delirium I will get written, and then I will be into Arcane number 4, planning a trip to Spain to do some research there. So all very exciting. Okay, so this podcast is sponsored by Kobo Writing Life, and here's a message from our sponsor.
Hi, this is Mark Lefebvre. I'm the director of self-publishing and author relations for Kobo, and we are very, very excited to be a sponsor of the Creative Pen podcast. Something I wanted to share with Creative Pen listeners is the fact that via Kobo Writing Life, you can set your book to free at any time for as long as you want. There's no exclusivity requests. I would advise authors, though, who are looking to set their book to free, to think about it as part of a strategy. What is your goal to set it for free? Are you looking for more readers? Are you trying to garner reviews? Or are you using this as a funnel to get people into your catalog? Come to KoboWritingLife.com, where we discuss such things, and check out the Kobo Writing Life podcast, which is also linkable from the blog. And now back to your host, Joanna Penn of the Creative Pen podcast.
Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from the creativepen.com, and today I'm here with Farnoosh Brock. Hi Farnoosh.
Hi Joanna, how are you?
I'm great, it's lovely to meet you. So Farnoosh is an author, a professional speaker, a coach and a creative entrepreneur at prolificliving.com, and I'm really excited to talk to Farnoosh today. So first up, just tell us a bit more about you and your business, Prolific Living.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for the warm introduction. So as you said, I am an entrepreneur today. I left a long corporate job to do something that lights me up and makes me happy. And it was a big risk, but it's turned out pretty well. I run a personal development blog at Prolific Living, and I write books, both traditionally published books and also self-published ebooks. And I create programs that help people make difficult career transitions. That's another passion I have, where whether you are a corporate employee and you want to figure out how to move up the corporate ladder, or you're just stuck in your career, or you want to leave the cubicle life and become an entrepreneur. And I just, you know, help people through that. I also have my coaching program, and I hired my husband a year ago today to work with me full time. So it's been an amazing journey for both of us.
Yeah, my husband heard about this. I was telling him about you and your husband, and he was like, where's my hiring?
When is that happening?
Yeah, when's right. that happening? So that's fantastic. So you're also a writer. So just tell us, what are the books you've got available? Because I know you've got quite a few. Okay.
Sure, sure. So I have several self-published books, and I have written on motivation, on writing, like a manifesto on just writing, and on confidence building. It's one of my passions, as well as, have you heard of Rumi, ancient 13th century Persian poem? And it's a photography book on Rumi. So I'm, you know, kind of all over the place, all nonfiction. I am working on a business book, and I also have books on juicing, you know, the act of juicing fruits and vegetables. So it's a health book. And we also have another book that's going to come out on healthy smoothies. We just turned in the manuscript to our publishers. So it's on a wide range of topics. Personal development and health, I think, is where my passions are.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. That's brilliant. And we're going to come back to the books. Mm-hmm. But I wanted first to, you know, both you and I quit our six-figure corporate jobs back in 2011, which is awesome, to become creative entrepreneurs. And a lot of people think it's too risky or it's too difficult. So how did you make that transition with an acceptable level of risk? And what are your recommendations for others?
Yeah, and you know, I'm a very conservative person fiscally and, you know, not taking risks. So for me, it was a huge shift and a huge risk, but it's turned out well. So I think what pushed me over the edge, Joanna, was just, you know, how unhappy I was. That's really what it came down to, you know, after, you know, you really, really do all this self-exploration and where is my career going and maybe I should stay and be happy with the job. At the end of the day, I was unhappy. And at some point, it just really dawned on me that I could make a difference with all of my talents and passions, but this is not the place. This is not the path. And it was not an easy discovery, let me tell you, because I was in corporate for 11 and a half years. So I had built a very successful career, and I completely shifted. So after I quit, I had some ideas. I had already been blogging. I had ideas for products and books. But again, I had never run a business. I have no experience. I had never, you know, I don't have the entrepreneur gene. My brothers do, but I was sort of the conservative employee, you know. So I think, you know, my husband's support was a huge, huge help in decision making. And also the fact that I really believed this is just not it. I don't know what is, but I have to get out of here to figure it out. So, and that has been become an area of passion, because now I have a program that I help people who have been corporate employees all their lives, you know, never taken a business course, maybe engineers, and you know, have always had that in mind in terms of a career path. But then something happens and you just wake up and you realize that's not what you want to do. But you have no idea how to take the steps to leave that life and that career and start something else. So I'm very passionate about that, because nobody teaches you this.
No. So absolutely. And just so people know, what was your job before in corporate?
I did all kinds of things. I started as an engineer. I did technical support for a large technology company. I helped service providers when their networks broke and they couldn't get online. So it was very, very technical, you know. And then I did project management, program management, process improvement, sales operations. I helped executives with their communication. I mean, I did everything because I was looking for that, you know, the thing that I was meant to do. And it was a great experience. I mean, I learned so much. I worked with amazing people. I traveled the world with my company. And it was a good experience, but I had to move on. So.
Yeah, no, and it's great. And we have such a similar background, which is why I wanted to talk to you. And I just want people to realize that you don't have to have, you know, sort of a training in entrepreneurship to make the change. No. And then you can learn on the way, right? This is something we develop along the way. So let's come back to your books, because my audience are authors and particularly interested. You have traditional publishing contracts, you have self-publishing. What have you learned about the publishing industry, and, you know, what are your experiences that people might find interesting as a comparison between the two?
Right. That's a great question, because I started with self-publishing, and I think self-publishing has opened avenues and opportunities for us. And some of us would never have other opportunities. So I think it's brilliant. And self-publishing is actually what led me or brought me the opportunity to do the traditional publishing work. So I'll tell you that story. But just to answer your question, I think self-publishing is very empowering because it gives you the ability to put your work out into the world. And we did not have this opportunity a few years ago. So I think taking advantage of that is very important. So I have friends who are waiting for a literary agent to come knocking on their door. And they are also trying to get one, but they are holding their books. I like to think they're holding it hostage because you never know, right? And you could start putting it out there and then try to see what happens. Just see what happens. So I'm very, very happy with self-publishing. We published several books. I say we because my husband was doing the self-publishing, formatting, all of that, and I was doing the writing, you know. And I think it's important to get support if you don't want to do the technical aspect and figure it out because you want your book to look professional. So, and the cover and the formatting. But we self-published 5 books over the course of 1.5 years. And one of them did very, very well. And that was my juicing book. And it was selling a few hundred copies a month at $9.99, which is not bad, you know. And it just went viral. And I, first of all, it showed me what self-publishing can do. It showed me what's possible, how much of an audience you can reach. And it also attracted our traditional publisher. So they found that book. They were interested in the topic. They wanted us to actually sell them the rights for that book and republish that. And I actually said no, because I wanted to keep that book, you know, on its own. And so we kept talking and we decided to write a brand new book. You know, it's somewhere here. Here it is. You know, it turned out really beautiful. And this is actually the 3rd print. So this came out in March of this year. But I feel very fortunate to have worked with a traditional publisher. So talking about traditional publishing, you know, I had heard the horror stories and I was skeptical. We did hire a publishing lawyer. This may be more than you want to know, but, you know,
no,
just, you know.
Great.
Okay, great. The logistics of it, right? I mean, I was not really excited about spending over $1,000 to get a lawyer to look over the contract. But I think if you have a business, it's very important to protect yourself and do your homework and have somebody help you understand the legalese in that contract. And you can negotiate. So just because they are a publisher and you want your book published does not put you in no position, right? You have the power to negotiate as long as you're willing to maybe lose the opportunity, and most likely you won't. So we negotiated and we were very happy with the terms. So after that, I had a 2-month deadline to turn this book around. It was very quick and I had a lot of traveling to do. So it turned out great. And working with a traditional publisher, with an editor, a publicist, I mean, my experience has been so good, so positive that I can only sing their praises. So I think it can go both ways. I think you have to be open to the opportunity and go with your gut. Like, I started to have a really good feeling the more I talked to them, the more I got to know them and understand their process. Another thing I did is I interviewed authors who had worked with this publisher. So I actually reached out to them. And, you know, authors want to support each other. So we have this amazing community. I think it's brilliant. So, you know, I got on the phone with them. We emailed back and forth. And anything I wanted to ask, they were so amazing. And so that was a really good part of the homework that I recommend you do. So based on all of that information, we decided we want to go with it. And the thing that led us to the second contract, because I think this is important, is that my attitude was, this book is a collaboration. So they don't owe it to me to go out and market the book and publicize it. You know, this is a collaboration. I am also a marketer for them. I have an online platform that I am more than willing to use. So my husband and I, you know, took it on ourselves to do amazing marketing for this book. And if you're interested, we can dig into that. And that impressed my publisher so much that they asked us to write two more books for them, actually. I haven't even gotten to the third contract, but we just submitted the second manuscript, and it's now a partnership. You know, you want to think of it as a partnership. Because you're both business people and this is a business, right? You're writing a book. They're selling the book. You're getting your story out there. They are, you know, helping you do that. I mean, just think of it as a partnership.
Mm. No, you've said so many great things there. And I love, you know, you do some slightly woo-woo stuff, but you're also, I mean, on your blog, not that we've got into that yet.
No.
You know, I mean, you know, you're a really creative, interesting person, but you've also got this, and you talk there about feelings and your gut, but then you've got a lawyer to look at the contract.
Of course. And no, you're like this savvy businesswoman. Yes.
You are. And that's what I really like about the way you've dealt with this. And what's interesting as well, and what I want people to realize is that the power differential when you did that negotiation, you had as much power as the publisher because you have a platform, you had the lawyer, you knew what you wanted. But a lot of people don't have that kind of power. So before we get on to the other marketing, do you feel that your blog is the reason that you have all these choices, and do you still think blogging is a good thing?
So blogging, I love blogging, Joanna, and I know there is the possible, you know, controversy between should you blog or should you just save all your energy for writing. But before I get into that, I really want to say I think my online platform helped, but I think my publishers were looking for someone who was willing to write a good, high quality book, to turn it around, to be professional. You know, I mean, you wouldn't believe what they go through, because we always think from an author perspective. They have authors that drop out on them, don't meet the deadline, turn in poor quality work. They are not professional. They don't get back to them on time. Your professionalism has nothing to do with an online platform. Mm. So think of yourself as a professional person as well as a great author. And just come with that front and you know, speak to them on that level, like rise to that level. So, and I think the online platform helps, but there is so much you can do without having a blog. I mean, social media, you could just have a Facebook page and that could be your place. You could really get creative. You know, we talk about creative. You have so many opportunities now, but blogging, I think, is important because I think blogging got me into writing. Mm-hmm. So I never went to writing school. I went to engineering school. You know, I have no business writing. But I think blogging is important. And to me, blogging is not taking away from your writing, because I do the blogging. I run actually several blogs. I write guest posts for others. I do my morning pages, Julia Cameron, The Artist's Way, every morning. And, you know, I think just the more you write, the more you want to write and the better you get. Now, I may be at a disadvantage because I'm still trying to improve my writing and English is my third language, you know. But I think, you know, write and write and keep writing, right? I mean, you just, you can't write too much, can you?
No, I agree. And I recommend blogging for writers to find their voice. And I feel like with my latest fiction novel, I couldn't have written so honestly without 5 years worth of blogging behind me. So I'm totally with you. But just coming back on the book, you mentioned there about some, you know, that you were a marketing partner with a publisher. Mm-hmm. So what mm-hmm. did you and your husband do on your part, and what did the publisher do?
Okay, so we did several things. I'm going to try to list the ones that made the most impression on the publisher, and then we can go into more detail. The first one that was, you know, something that, and this is a pretty good sized publisher, right? Mm-hmm. That really impressed them was that we created a professional trailer/commercial for the mm-hmm. book. So we used, you know, pretty good lighting and camera, but it was a home made video. This was not studio. We didn't spend the big money. We just did it at home, so you can do this. But there was some video processing that my husband did, and so we did that, and we put that on a page, and we put it out there, and we send it to them, and they send it to the entire company because no author had ever done that for them. So then beyond that, I read a book that I think most of you should read, or all of you. It's called Goodreads for Authors.
Yep. Yeah.
So if you're not on Goodreads, I cannot remember. Michelle somebody wrote it. Yeah. Brilliant little book. I read it on an airplane and I couldn't wait to get back online and get on Goodreads. And after you read that, you set up a personal profile, an author profile. You claim all your books if you have books, and then you run a contest. So I talked to my publicist, I negotiated, I proposed to my publicist that these are all the reasons we should do a contest. So they put up 10 books and committed to ship to US and Canada. That all took a lot of negotiation. And I decided to run the contest and to get the word out. We had 900 people sign up, you know. I have no platform on Goodreads. These are all people that because of what you learn on how to run one, and then we sent out the books. And what happens is people who sign up for the contest put the book on their bookshelves. So then it becomes a little viral because their friends see it and they add the book. And the reviews on Goodreads are syndicated as opposed to Amazon. So what happens is it's more valuable to get a Goodreads review than an Amazon review, and other places pick up those reviews and learn about your book. And you're also being very generous because you're giving your book out. Some of those people that get the book may do reviews for you. They can also just rate rather than write a review on Goodreads. So you want to have a presence on Goodreads. That was the second one. And I also created a long list of people that I asked my publisher to put up 60 to 75 books ahead of time, early copies, to be willing to send these to people that I had indicated. And these are people who are bloggers, podcasters, small radio, authors, fellow authors, who were willing to do something to promote the book. And that something depended on their platform. So I was very flexible. You know, it was anything from a Google Hangout to a guest post to an interview to whatever. And so she coordinated with me and sent out the books. And so we got a lot of buzz going for the book. So those are three main things. We did a lot more, but you continue to market. So you don't just market until the book goes live. You continue to do, like yesterday I had an interview with Discovery Channel's Fit and Health. You know, they just found me and it was just a little interview. And, you know, and then every time I do those, I go back and I let my publicist know so that they can know I'm still working on this. I also got my own book signing and they were very excited about that. And that was, you know, that was just a freak accident. My dentist knew the Barnes and Noble lady. Like, this is how the world works, right? And she said something to them. And the next thing I know, you know, I was going to Barnes and Noble to do a book signing, which was great. Aww. So get creative. Yeah.
No, that's fantastic. And I've actually had Patrick Brown from Goodreads on the podcast, so people can go back to listen to that. So I'm really glad you mentioned that. Yeah. That's fantastic. Now, I want to talk a bit more about your motivational and self-improvement stuff, I guess. The tagline on Prolific Living is smart habits for rich living. And I love that you're unapologetic about wanting to make money, because a lot of creative people have negative energy around money and art, especially fiction authors and people who, you know, the art and money thing. So I wondered if you had any suggestions for how creatives in particular can change their attitude about money.
Yeah. So I, you know, I come from a very analytical background, you know, and I'd always wanted to have a very comfortable living. And the rich living phrase is actually beyond financial wealth. So it is really healthy living and being confident. But as far as your question, I think one thing you should ask yourself is, how can you help other people if you are poor and starving? To exaggerate, right? Because you want to help. You have a message, whether you're writing dark fiction or you're writing a juicing book or you're writing anything in between. You have a message. And I'm assuming you're passionate about your message. It has to get out there. But the only way it can get out there is if there is effort behind it. And the bigger it gets, of course, the more money you make, but it's also getting out there. So it's not about making money so much as it is about getting your message out there, getting your story out there. You know, the reason we are more enriched with the Harry Potter stories is because it's out there and we have heard about it. And that's a way that the author then ends up making money and creating her own wealth and ends up giving of that wealth to her passionate causes and creates multiple streams. I mean, there is nothing wrong with wanting to create wealth. But one thing I think that brings it down, I think, is you want your art, your message, your story to reach the masses if you really feel passionate about it. And the way you can do that is by putting money behind it, by investing in it, and in turn, making a lot in return. And there's nothing wrong with that. So I don't know if that helps.
I think that's one way I look. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about, and the same with reframing marketing. It's about helping people who want to hear about this to hear about it. I mean, who doesn't want to know how to use juicing to change your life? It's awesome. I'm going to try and come back to that, actually. You had a lovely post that I was reading, and you said, stop seeking approval and validation of others, which I find amazing. And as authors, we're full of doubts about our own worth. We want publishers and we want agents, we want readers to all tell us how good we are. So how can we be less needy about this and stop seeking approval?
Yeah, that, I write about the things I struggle with. So, the first person I'm writing for in my blog is myself, because I really struggled with that, right? I needed the pat on the back. You're doing great. This is beautiful. This is nice, And I think when I quit my job, I was going against the flow, against what everybody expected me to do. And I really learned some hard lessons. I was expecting everyone from my family and friends to come and cheer me on. And that wasn't the reaction because, in their mind, it was not the right move. And I respect that. So it took a lot of questioning, why do I have these expectations? And I think it comes down to a little bit of insecurity. Because if we are not very confident, I am absolutely 100% confident about the message of juicing, right? I don't need 100 doctors to agree with me, right? And I don't advocate other people go and start doing it right away, right? But I think if you really believe in what's inside, then it becomes less of a necessity to also get everyone else to agree with it, right? And I think it's important to have that because you want to protect your dream at the beginning when it's an infant stage and be very guarding. Because if you don't and someone says something, you are going to stop looking at that as your baby. And that's a shame because they could just kill the dream and you wouldn't even know it. So I think it's important to guard it. And that comes from having that confidence that what you have is completely unique. And one way to look at it is you are unique. We are all unique. So there's no one like you that thinks about the same story, if you're an author, right, a fiction writer, that thinks up the same characters and the same beauty that you are creating in your mind. Nobody. So if you want to put it out there, you have to be guarding. You have to believe this is something that's worthy. And it's not going to go over well with everyone. I mean, going back to Harry Potter, I heard that they burn the books in some countries because they think it's sorcery. Right. Okay, I didn't know. But I don't think the author really, not that she doesn't care, but it's very separate from her self-worth, right? How others perceive your work does not speak to your self-worth. It doesn't make you better or worse. So I think by the same token, you shouldn't let your success get to you. Because then you think you're better than you really are. And it's not about you. It's about the work. It's about this genius work you put out there. And sometimes I think there is sort of a message that comes to us and we're just a vessel and we're transporting it. There is certainly some genius in the person too. But I think it may come from, I don't know where it comes from, but your job is to put it out there. And if people attack the work, it's them and the work. It's between them. It doesn't have to do with you. So separating that, and it takes hard work, because it's your baby, right? I mean, every time I get a one-star review, and I have had one-star reviews, I'm like, you're kidding, right? My book? And then I'm like, it's okay. It's good. It balances things out. My book is getting out there. People are expressing their opinion. So you just have to believe this work is unique and they're not attacking you. It's just they don't agree, which is fine.
So I think that's so important, and that serendipity, like you mentioned the dentist there, and there are things that we have to do to put out in the world so other things happen. And I find the journey of the entrepreneur, and I think you do have as well, is that as you try, things happen, they just come back to you. So I think having that positive energy is so important. So I did want to ask you as well, because I've watched some of your videos on yoga postures and exercises, and I'm here on a Swiss ball. Here's me on my Swiss ball.
Good Good for you, Joanna. That's wonderful. It helps your abs.
It does. It and my back. And I was going to, because I had really chronic back pain, and you're into physical health and wellness. You've got the Juicers Bible. You look amazing. You're sitting there looking amazing.
And an hour of makeup.
Yeah. But authors, you know, we spend our time like this. We're kind of hunched over,
you know,
and we're just like, and bloggers. And so what are some of your top tips for the writer's body for the long term?
Funny. So, you know, I actually, you know, I'm going to talk about something I created for this specific reason, because you don't have time or maybe the resources to go to an hour, you know, gym, an hour away, whatever, you know. And I think the gym isn't for everyone. I think you need to find something that's not just exercise, but it invigorates, it adds flexibility, balance, and strength. You need those anyway, and you don't need to spend hours doing it. You know, I do because I love yoga, but I think it's so important. I'm so glad you brought this up. You know, taking care of yourself, being a healthy entrepreneur before you become a rich, successful one. Because if you don't have the first one, the second one won't matter, right? And the writing posture, you know, as long as you, you know, you can work on it a little bit, but I think you should do things to counterbalance that. So I created a 10-minute invigorator program for busy professionals, and I created all these videos because I really believe as low as 10 minutes a day of moving, breathing, and flexing your body and opening, getting the energy and the oxygen flowing, that's enough. So you need something consistent, a consistent routine. It could be a 10-minute walk. It could be I prefer yoga because I think it's so comprehensive. And I'm going to send you a copy of that because I think you're going to love it. And if you're super busy, 10 minutes a day, I think you could do that, right, Joanna?
Absolutely, absolutely. No, that's great. And I think that movement is really important. And too many writers don't look after their bodies and end up, you know, on painkillers.
No, or other things. No, we don't need that because you can just take care of yourself. It doesn't take a lot. It just takes a little bit of effort and a little discipline.
No, absolutely. Brilliant. So you've mentioned one of your courses there. Just tell people a bit more about what they can find at Prolific Living.
Right. Thank you. So Prolific Living is really my home online. You know, I have my blog and I do mention what's coming up, but I do have a course, Smart Exit Blueprint, and that's for busy professionals or people who are in jobs and they may not want to stay there, right? So if you're an aspiring author and you are in a corporate job and you're only doing your writing at 11 p.m. at night, you know, and you really want to break free, I think there is so many things you can do. Besides waiting until your first books, you know, sells millions of copies, there's so many things you can do to add to that, to add additional streams of income, to start making your exit, to take specific action to make your exit and enable yourself so that you can write full time, which is what you may want. So that's at smartexitblueprint.com. It's also on my sidebar, and I have a free video training where I give you some really actionable tips what you can do today to start making that plan. And we also have a course where we work with you. And actually, some of my students from this course have become authors. Like, I have a sales guy who has started writing 3 or 4 books, right? Like accidental authors. And it's brilliant because they don't know what they're going to do next, but they're exploring. So we go through that whole process. If you don't know what you're going to do, what is it? How do we find it? How do we take action towards it? So it's a lot of fun, but I really think it makes a difference in helping you make that transition.
Fantastic. And just one last question before we close. You're involved in all kinds of publishing, you're an entrepreneur, you have courses. What do you think is going to happen? I mean, with the kind of the rise of all this technology, the changing in the publishing industry, the way we can now as individuals have this power online to market globally, what do you see coming in the next couple of years? What are you excited about in this world?
About everything. I mean, I think it's just amazing that we have the opportunity to do all of this. I think it's important to continue to be responsible. You know, I do read some books that are just, you know, they're just thrown together just so people can make money online. That's the kind of thing you shouldn't be doing, right? To sacrifice the quality of your work just so you could get on the Kindle store and make money. So I think being responsible as authors and putting work out there that you can be proud of and then continuing to appreciate and support all these tools out there. You know, I support, you know, applications and resources and tools and companies that are coming out. And if they're free, you know, I continue to pay, like Evernote, Asana, a collaboration tool. You know, just being a responsible citizen in this online world where we are, because, you know, it's an asset. We have to take care of it together, right? So I think that's the most we can do. But I'm excited about everything. You know, I'm excited to be talking to you across the pond, right? And this wouldn't be an opportunity if we didn't have technology and Skype. So continuing to appreciate it and being a little patient when things don't work because it's so complex and, you know, a little glitch sometimes really gets to us and we should just be more patient and more understanding because it's going to fix itself and it's going to be fine. And we don't have to go back to typing on a typewriter, you know, it's all good.
Yeah. And for both of us, 5 years ago, we were in jobs we didn't like and we didn't have anything online, right?
Nothing. Exactly. Yeah. You build it and it keeps building on itself. And I mean, if you start today, or what is that quotation? A year from today, you'll wish you had started today.
Yeah.
So it's not too late. It is not too late. But start today. Don't keep waiting.
Brilliant. So just finally, where can people find you and your books online?
Thank you. Thank you for asking. So prolificliving.com has everything. And my book is actually on prolificjuicing.com. So that's another website. It's all about juicing and smoothies, but it's also on Amazon. I think that's probably the best price. And you can see all of my books on Amazon. So if you want to, you know, and you can reach out to me through social media. Just look up Prolific Living and let me know, you know, you came through Joanna. I love to meet people. And if you're looking for anything in particular, you should be able to find it, but I'm happy to help you and connect with you.
Thank you so much, Farnoosh. That was brilliant.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Joanna. It was lovely speaking to you.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You might also like the backlist episodes at thecreativepen.com/podcasts. You can also get your free author 2.0 blueprint at thecreativepen.com/blueprint. If you'd like to connect, you can tweet me at thecreativepen or find me on Facebook at The Creative Pen. See you next time.